Welcome. This is the Sikh Coach Podcast, a podcast exploring the Sikh principles and how to live them in the 21st century. This is episode 6, Seek Your Mind, a Mental Health Awareness Week special. Welcome everybody. This is Avtar Singh, the Sikh Coach. Welcome to episode 6. Wishing you and your families are keeping well. This episode, we are fortunate enough to have two members of an amazing UK-based charity called Seek Your Mind, who look at raising awareness around mental health and provide support services, particularly to the Sikh Punjabi community in the UK. We welcome today Gobindajit Kaur, who is the founder of the charity and currently works as a clinical psychologist for the NHS, and Rakhvir Singh, who is a volunteer who brings with him lived experience of dealing with mental health challenges. Both explain more about their backgrounds and the charity during the episode. Mental health is such an important topic, and particularly for the Sikh Punjabi community, as we don't always openly talk about these things. So one of the good things is there is a lot of organizations now, like Seek Your Mind, who are coming up and discussing and raising awareness of these. So it is very important for us as a community to help them have these conversations, to raise awareness of the information and the support that is readily available to people who might be facing mental health issues. We have a number of these resources in the episode description, so do take a look at that and do share with your friends and families to make them aware of this. I do hope you enjoy the episode. And if there's any feedback, as always, you can contact me on Instagram at the Sikh Coach or the email address thesikhcoach@gmail.com. Stay blessed. Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh.
Vaheguru Ji Khalsa, Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh.
So I want to give a warm welcome to Gobindajit Kaur and Rakhvir Singh, who are from the organization Seek Your Mind. Thank you for coming on the Sikh Coach podcast. You're very welcome. And it's amazing listening to and seeing the work that you're doing around mental health. I think it'd be great for you to give a brief introduction about yourself so that the listeners and the viewers can understand sort of your backgrounds and your involvement in the organization you're from. Do you want to go first, Gobindajit?
Sure. So I am a clinical psychologist and I work in the NHS. My husband actually had the idea and then I begrudgingly said, okay, then it probably is necessary. Essentially, he was saying, use your skills to help the community. And it all started in around 2015 from an Instagram post. That's how it all started. But the aim, I suppose, of Seek Your Mind, and it is slowly changing and developing, but the aim was really to raise awareness to, because essentially I work in an area of Birmingham that's really diverse, and, you know, it's got lots of, a Sikh population is quite big, and I wasn't seeing anyone in the service I worked in, which is an adult service, and I thought, well, what's happening? Where are they? Is it that we just don't experience mental health issues? Is it that they're going somewhere else? And so we started this, and actually, you know, have answered quite a few of those questions, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. But essentially, we do need to think about mental health in our community. And it's quite critical for me and I think members of the team, really, to think about Sikhs as a community in itself, because we often talk about South Asians. And that group is massive. Absolutely huge. It's from Sri Lanka to Pakistan to, you know, like it incorporates so many populations with so many differences. And so Seek Your Mind is particularly for the Sikh community, because we think about Sikhi as the faith, as well as mental health and psychology. But we have had contacts and people requiring support from different faiths and different communities, and we will never say no. So I suppose it's the overarching aim of Seek Your Mind is to support people with their mental health.
Great. And Rakhvir Singh?
Well, just echoing from what Gobindaji said, I joined Seek Your Mind about a year ago or so, just under that. I didn't have much knowledge or experience of mental health, but I came in because I had a mental health experience with my family, And I found that Seek Your Mind was an organization where I could, you know, get a listening ear and get more knowledge and experience of mental health. But I work as a buyer, so I'm not connected in the mental health field at all. But I think, as you said, there's a massive need for a community, particularly Punjabi Sikh community, to be more aware of mental health issues, and for us to open up this discussion, and obviously, you know, create an opportunity for people to approach us, and also so we can help them access the services that they need within the NHS.
It's a definite need for it, because there seems to be, like you said, in the Sikh community and Punjabi community, you know, a lot of people don't talk about mental health. A lot of people don't actually recognize what mental health is. So what sort of services and support does their organization deliver?
So when we began this journey, it was all absolutely like you say, about mental health awareness raising, and slowly, while that is still key, it's also about thinking about, you know, people do need that information, but it might not be that they don't know it. It just might be, what do they do with it once they know it? So once you know that I'm not quite feeling right, what do you do with that? And so a big part of our role has been about supporting people to access, as Rukvi said, access support services out there. So we offer telephone consultations for free. So everything we do is free. It's all voluntary, and no one gets paid in any way, shape or form. And so when people email us in, and they email us via the website, they just, you know, write briefly about what kind of support they're looking for or what's going on with them. And so we often offer a telephone call, one or more, depending on their need, to think about, like, making sense of what's happening, because a lot of people, you know, you can see in the here and now that I feel quite low, my appetite's reduced, or I'm not getting on with people and I'm isolated, but we don't always see, like, why really. And so we try and help them think about why. You're not born like this. You're not born feeling quite low in mood or anxious or anything else. And so we try and help people make sense of it. And then if they want to, because actually not always, you know, people don't always want to do something with that. That is enough for now. We kind of signpost to therapists, psychologists, counselors, or even kind of community support services, like, you know, get engaging in your community, doing things in a group, that might help. So we try and signpost in that way. We've also recently, we're undertaking some research. So we've got quite a big database of information now from all the people that we supported. And so we're looking into, you know, how we can get that out, really, in an obviously an anonymous way, but and also in kind of academic journals. And the reason for that is that there isn't a lot of information in healthcare, in academia, about Sikhs. It's about South Asians, and that's fine. But we know that Sikhs are different. I mean, we have different needs, and that needs to be recognised. So we've got some kind of involvement in that, and we hope to kind of continue with that, really. The more people that we get on board who are interested in doing this kind of work. We also have done drop-in clinics at Gurdwara community centres, it was in Coventry that we did quite a regular one, but we've done a few in Birmingham as well, just to share with the Sangat that we're here, this is what we do, and we've even kind of gone on stage in the Darbar Sahib to talk about, like, anxiety, and for me that was one of the pivotal moments, because it was quite an elderly Sangat, and you know, I think I was talking about anxiety, and I was talking about, like, why that might happen and what it might look like and something that could help you, and there were so many nods, there were so many, oh yeah. And then afterwards, a few people approached, and they didn't want anything more but a leaflet, and that's all they wanted. And I think that's, you know, for me, that's so key, because actually these people, you know, probably don't want to access services for whatever reason. They probably don't want to have, like, maybe long-term support again. We're not sure why. We can hazard a guess, but we don't know for definite. But what they do suffer with is anxiety, is mental health issues, because the reality is that every single one of us will experience a mental health issue at some point in our lives. The level, how long it goes on for, or how stressful it is for us, that differs. But we, you know, life is hard, And that's essentially, I think, what we all know, but maybe we don't always think about. Life is hard, and you know, everybody needs a bit of support from time to time. So I suppose what we offer always just changes depending on what kind of new members that we have in the team, depending on our capacity as clinicians, as sevadars. But at the moment, it's about supporting people who reach out, whether that's on Instagram, Facebook, or emails. And recently, actually, we have offered some training to a clinical psychology doctorate course in Staffordshire. And that was around what the work we're doing, because it just highlights that every community is different. And it also highlights to trainee clinical psychologists and hopefully other professionals that when we speak with people from a different religion, different culture, different background to us, we really need to think about their experiences, and we really need to ask certain questions. And so that's been key, and I think hopefully we'll grow and maybe offer that out to other courses, so that we can just share, I suppose, what we're doing, and hopefully other people will, you know, do similar.
That's brilliant. So some of the, I guess, the academic and the data that you're gathering around real cases, is there any themes coming out of that, like that we need to raise more awareness in our community about telling them that this is coming from our community and to the wider world to say, you know, I mean, we can make obvious statements because we've experienced the community and the pressures that, you know, we kind of give ourselves or other people give. But was there any key themes that came out of that data in academia?
You know, I suppose the biggest, it's not particularly a theme. Well, I will go on to that, but the biggest thing for me, and I think one of the questions that we get asked is around exactly what you've asked, but it's that every single diagnosis, I mean, I don't particularly like talking about diagnoses, but if we think about them like that, every single one of them we have been asked about, because someone in the Sikh community is experiencing something that ranges from depression to psychosis to bipolar disorder, all of them. The common themes, however, within that, and this again is a cross diagnosis, it's transdiagnostic, is relationships. Relationships are hard, whether that's the in-laws or whether a partner or at work. All of this has a massive impact on how we feel and whether we are diagnosed with depression or psychosis or whatever. So I don't know if it's any different really to any other population, and working in the NHS, I would say no, it isn't. I think there's nuances though. So for example, if we think about the diagnosis of obsessive compulsive disorder, I think there's something that I've noticed that I am quite curious about that presentation in Amritsari Sikhs, and this kind of idea of intrusive thoughts, of thoughts that we don't want, particularly maybe about God or what kind of person we are. These thoughts can come into our mind, and it, we kind of think that that means that we're a bad Sikh. Yeah. So I've heard that probably more times than I would have guessed I would hear at that. So I think that needs further kind of discussion really.
Yes, that's an interesting area actually, because I think there is this thing around judgment, particularly when it comes about religion, probably twofold, where other people are probably judging you and what you should be doing or should not be doing, but there's a bigger internal judgment thinking that you're not good enough, or you know, you're not worthy of certain things, or you know, of it's that internal conversation is dangerous, but then you know the external pressure is external pressure. But yeah, I can imagine that, because I've experienced that myself, but I've experienced quite a few other of my friends and network that have seen that pressure, and even people who say they're not practicing, they feel the pressure that they say we're not good, you know. And it's like, wow, that's not the concept that was there. It was about humanity, about equality, about, you know, everyone has their own journey. But you can see that there's that level of pressure, even when it becomes practicing your faith as well. So yeah, I can imagine like the different cases and the people you get to speak and all the sort of different types of issues you get. So I guess one of the key things I read about the team that you have, I mean, you obviously alluded to already that you have clinicians, but you would also have people with lived experience. And you have Rick Riesling, who is a prime example of how somebody who's had that lived experience, and you're sharing that. I guess to give other people that personal resonance that, you know, you've been through this yourself and how you sort of saw through it. So could you give us a bit of insight into that and your experience of sort of mental health issues?
Yeah, sure. My younger brother was diagnosed with clinical depression early last year. And I think it was something that was building. He was showing symptoms near the time of being diagnosed of, you know, having, you know, feeling low and irritable and having disturbed sleep, having aches and pains, and just having general disinterest in life and, you know, normal things that people, you know, do and enjoy. And he was having, as we're going to say, relationship issues, I think, because he was a dad of a second, a newborn as well at that time, a new baby boy. So it was supposed to be like a happy time, really. Yeah. And nobody really understood what was happening with him and why he was acting the way he was. And being close family, we didn't recognize that these symptoms are adding up to something else, and that is depression. When he was diagnosed, then we were all like, wow. And he was seeking therapy, but he just thought it was, you know, not going to be for him, and he just thought that he needed to get out, and he decided to take his life last July, which was really sad and you know, very heartbreaking time for everybody, really, if somebody passes away in your family. And then, you know, I began thinking, like, what is this monster which has come into our family and attacked one of my family, and we don't even know about it. There's no weapons we can actually use to find mental illness. It has to be like it's an internal struggle, but it's not a thing which can't be overcome. And you know, I've experienced with your other brother who has schizophrenia, mild form of schizophrenia. So you know, I'm always sort of, you know, trying to keep in touch with him and trying to so seek your mind can really in to help with this, and especially with Indigeet. So to seek therapy and seek other like self-help groups, and telling him to look after himself and stay away from drugs and alcohol and stuff. So and he's slowly getting on the mend. So yeah, that's it's been a bit of a massive blow straight away, because we don't have history of mental illness as such that I've had experience with. But recently, it's past year or so, it's come to the fore. It's knocked on my door. And now it's just asked me, what are you going to do about it? And, you know, I decided to be proactive. As you grieve, there is a process. And I went to support groups, just a society of bereavement by suicide. They really helped, because there's people there who have experienced the same loss, almost, you know, in the recently. I did a course on problems and awareness of mental health problems, and I completed that a month or so ago. So it's given me insight on a range of different mental health issues. So I really thought to myself that, do I want to hurt? Do I want to ask these questions to eat me up? Do I want to have a negative frame of thinking and just end up with an issue myself? You know, I mean, decision by myself from the Guruji's Kripa that, you know, I'm going to be proactive, I'm going to learn, which at Sikhs we should do, and try and fight this, because it is a hidden enemy. It sneaks up on people without them actually, you know, knowing what it is, in a way. So and I think it's echoing Govindaji, like, we need to get more awareness of mental issues in our community, because a lot more community, they fear it, as such as we don't need to talk about it, or why is it important? It's almost like a taboo subject, and there's a lot of stigma around people who have or are showing signs of mental illness or mental difficulty. You know, that's why I want to, you know, obviously take more of a part in helping our community, and not just myself and my family, but others who might need support.
That's really good. So, I mean, I think the good thing there is that you said, like yourself, we seek, we need to continue learning, and there's a proactivity around that. But I guess it's the difficultness when certain topics aren't discussable. You know, people are saying it's taboo, and it's not just, you know, it's your family or your relatives or the community as a whole, just sort of shying away from talking about the topic. So I guess trying to get this out through the existing network of gurdwaras and sort of community centers and networks we have, has that been an issue? I mean, you said you've already been able to speak on the stage of the gurdwara in Coventry. Has that sort of, have you been welcome into other gurdwaras, and how's that journey been? Is there a general movement you're finding that people are opening up to this conversation now?
I think there absolutely is. Unfortunately, I think one of the turning points was somebody ending their life by suicide. I believe there was a person in Canada, and it was completely, it overthrew so many people. And I think that kind of spread then to the UK about, this is obviously, it is happening. We might not know about it, and we need to do something about it. And I think there's waves. So there's definitely been an increase in organisations similar to ourselves, looking at like Punjabi Sikh communities, which is absolutely amazing. I don't think there's ever been a time like this. So we're in a really good place. What I've learned, though, is that whilst we have been able to get into some gurdwara, what it's really taken is that someone on the inside who's maybe part of the committee, part of the sangha, who can actually have a voice there, it's taken that person to invite us in. If we have approached many other gurdwara, because there's over 300 in the UK, and unfortunately they haven't responded. But we as Sikh Your Mind, we are part of the Sikh Council UK. Okay. So we hope that, that's like forward thinking on their part, really, to think about how mental health is quite, it needs to be talked about, and how actually Gurdwara need to be a big part of the conversation. Yes. And so, we're looking into some research about Gurdwara and how they've helped people during the pandemic. And we hope that actually that will elicit what they offer, what we can support them with, and what they need funding for potentially, because there's such a need for it. So I think that the future is very bright in that sense, and it's really just about like motivation and effort, really. If we all work together to this, there's definitely things that we can all do.
Yes, so I think the infrastructure we have, we're quite fortunate. We have a lot of gurdwaras. We have a lot of budgets that could potentially have a bit allocated to mental health and create a big impact. And then, like you said, it's a struggle to try and justify the need for it, but it almost takes an extreme event or something. But the pandemic means the gurdwaras are closed, so they're diverting their efforts to giving, say, food to those who need it. So I guess it might be a good opportunity now to then say, actually, you have been closed, but you could have been providing another service, which is a mental health service. So do you think part of the way to tackle it is then through the digital world, because you're able to then reach many more people outside of just a building or a gurdwara? And how is that, how effective are you finding at the moment? I've seen there's, like you said, there's a lot of content, a lot of accounts, a lot of organizations open talking about mental health. So I think the momentum is really building now. That's really good. So I guess for Seek Your Mind, what is the strategy for going forward in the future? How do you, what sort of targets do you have in mind? Or, you know, are you just letting it grow? And do you want to sort of disperse the team? Because it seems to be Midlands focused face-to-face. Is that going to, what's your plans around it, really?
Well, we're always open for more people. We have got some team members in London, and that's a combination of clinicians and then people with lived experience. But I suppose another thing that I've noticed is when people reach out to us because they want to be part of it, that's much better than when we reach out to people. Because there's, again, it's not easy work. I wish it was, in a way, but actually on top of life, on top of each individual team member's life and work and other commitments, this is another thing. And sometimes it might feel like that. So it's really important that people are passionate about this. I think in terms of our vision, we're quite fluid, but there are definitely some bits that we want to work on. And it's always been linking with other organisations. Because what I didn't mention at the beginning was that we didn't really want to make up an organisation, another one. We didn't want another organisation, because Sikhs are so good at doing that. The same organisation. And not enough work. Yeah. So but unfortunately, we had actually kind of reached out to a few other kind of bigger organizations that were doing slightly different work, but obviously mental health is part of every bit of work. And we didn't get any responses. So we kind of begrudgingly set this up. And we're completely for working together, and that's so crucial, because we cannot do this alone, and we profess to do this alone. But we want to think a bit more about like the culture and the religious and the faith aspect for individuals, because that's the bit that's different compared to, you know, a member of the public walking down the street who might not believe in anything, kind of a higher being. So we want to really kind of reach out to people and kind of acknowledge that I suppose Sikhi and psychology, or Sikhi and mental health, and Sikhi and the way our mind works, they are not two different kind of entities. They're one and the same. Sikhi actually incorporates everything.
Yes.
And, you know, we might talk, and I think historically, even I have thought very Western psychology models over here and my beliefs and faith over here. But that's not the case. And so one of our kind of aims is to, if we can share some of that information and someone comes forward, even one person comes forward and says, can you help me, or can you support me? That brilliant. That's excellent. Just, you know, one person. And that's for us. That's really meaningful. So we're not business minded at all, and that probably doesn't help some of the time, because I think we need to be bigger in some ways, because we want to help as many people as we can. But at the moment, I think that's why we're quite focused on particular areas, because we're mostly from Birmingham and the West Midlands, Brookfield and Leicester. So, you know, we are really looking into kind of widening what we offer. And one of those kind of offerings would ideally be like kind of a network of Sikh clinicians, Sikh individuals who are interested in mental health, Sikh sevadars who want to support kind of our vision, really, so that we can always, if we have like a call from someone and they're based in Surrey, we've got someone that they can speak to. That's the ideal, really.
And I think you would probably get a lot of interest from non-Sikhs as well, to actually, because it's this selfless service pillar that we don't do it for, you know, identity or thanks and pat on the back. It's completely, you know, it's part of who you are. You know, you are part of the community. You're an upstanding person, and you have a positive impact. So I think the mission would resonate with so many people. I think when you talked about Sikhi and Gurbani, I think it's completely right. I mean, we have the most best self-help tool in the world. And, you know, I think it pains me when I think our own Sikh community who have this are the one who's suffering in silence. When we listen to it day in, day out, we do all that, but it's not resonating within, because the purpose is to make you resilient, make you strong, make you understand the bigger picture. I mean, you know, Gurbani talks about ups and downs, and that's normal, that's life. And, you know, through our history, it's so rich to show the trials and tribulations that the gurus and many gurusikhs went through to give us that prime example of, you know, it's not going to be easy. Actually, it might be easy now, because that time they had to go through a lot more hardship. But yeah, I think it's commendable, because you're combining the two together, and it's probably explaining the way that a clinician would explain, but then reinforcing it with something that's much more deeper than that. I think that will resonate with a lot of people. All right, so there was another question. So yeah, I think the other thing around, you said about business minded. So I'm obviously from the not-for-profit sector, and I see charities, you know, having these services, which almost sound similar to what you're providing as well, but they're able to then gather grants and, you know, funding from governments. And I always think that as Sikh, we're really good at getting a building fund and building like a massive expensive building. Mm. But when it comes to like coordinating our services, which is for the betterment of our community and the wider community, we're terrible at, and it's like you said, the academic piece that you're doing will feed into that, into the government, to tell them actually that there's a society of people here and there's a need for it, but those needs aren't being matched because they just aren't coming forward, or they're not aware of it. So I think, yeah, I think I had this thought in my mind about, you know, should you be money orientated? But then if your business or money orientated for the betterment of more other people, then it's almost like a good thing, isn't it? Because you're not using it for the lavish purpose of luxuries, but you're using it to exponentially help as many people. I mentioned to Rakvi last time, is you know, I'll tend to go to Guru Gobind Singh. He said, you know, I will make one Sikh fight Savalak. That was in the time when we needed to fight Savalak. But now it's very important that one Sikh helps Savalak as a minimum, you know, and if not more. And if we all took that personal passion and did that, the world would be a very, very much better place to be in. And you know, I think it's the coordination bit. So I can understand the challenge that you face in that sense. But yeah,
my husband puts it nicely. Unfortunately, I'm talking about him like he's this great person. These are just snippets. I have to live with him, so it's a very different story. But no, he often says to me, you know, what you're doing right now, and he doesn't mean it like viciously, but it really puts it in perspective, is giving people like a bottle of water. What you need to do is dig a well. Yeah. And I think that because we're clinicians and we're people with lived experience, and it doesn't always come naturally, that kind of, okay, so how do we make this bigger? And I think there's some amazing people out there who can do that straight away, can't they? They just know.
It's amazing. Things like that. Yeah,
absolutely. So, if anyone is listening to this and they have those skills, please get in touch.
We're calling all you business development salesmen out there that can work for a good purpose. To help. So I guess today, Rakvir, I wanted to probably touch on a few points around what helped you during that difficult time. Is there any tools or advice and tips you can give people who may be feeling that they may have some mental health issues themselves, or actually a friend or family that they may think, what sort of things can they do to sort of manage that?
So obviously the grieving is a process, so allow yourself time to do that. Especially if you've lost somebody, I found that turning to friends and family and just talking, going for a walk in the park and just expressing my emotions, having a cry with people that you know and trust, you know, letting yourself sort of be at peace with what's happened. It does take time. For others, Afan Gurbani, obviously, like you said, is a you know, the biggest source of knowledge and enlightenment and empowerment that we have Sikhs are blessed with. And obviously Gurbani is for anyone, not just us. So I think, you know, don't be scared of going to the Gurdwara and asking for support. Maybe, you know, if you want to speak to Guruji, take a hukumnama, tell the, you know, the Gyaniji or the priest there that, you know, I've got this problem, you know, I'm thinking these things, I need help. Can you take a hukumnama for me and just explain it to me? And then also, I would say, you know, contact organizations which have experience in mental health, such as, like, you know, obviously us, the Sikh Mind, you know, just get some help and support, especially if you've got symptoms such as which are prolonged, such as you are sort of feeling anxious about things, or you've got, you know disturbed sleep patterns or something, or you know, you've relationship problems or lack of interest in things. And those kind of symptoms and others, depending on the condition that you might be experiencing, they're presenting yourself and they're preventing you from actually leading your normal life, your normal day-to-day activities, and you consistently feel these, then I think it's a good thing to stop and think and you know, reach out to somebody, because, you know, it is something that, you know, we all need help with, and we experience some kind of difficulty in our lives, depending on what happens. It might be bereavement, might be divorce, might be moving house, might be new job or something, and a moving country, you know, it could be anything. Yes. So yeah, I mean, never be scared or sort of, you know, not sort of, never be scared about doing that.
Brilliant. And I guess, Govindaji, this is probably one for you, where obviously this COVID-19 pandemic has affected everybody, both working, home, all sorts, and obviously there's a lot of loss of life that you may see more of because of your field of work, and people dealing with isolation and all this stuff. Is there any tips that you can give people, or any advice on where the help is available, what sort of services are available to them at this time?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, it's a really challenging time for so many people, and even with the sort of brief, the bereavement and grief experiences, we're not able to do that properly. We're not able to do that how we normally would. And so it's important to keep connected to people. And I know that's easier said than done, especially when you're going through something like that. But I suppose it's having people around you that can check in on you, even if it's for a short duration, so it doesn't feel like it's impinging on your time or it's intruding, but just to make sure that you're okay in terms of your everyday, like sleep and eat and, you know, the basic things, especially if you're grieving, you know, that's a very difficult time anyway, but particularly increasing at the moment. I think in terms of support in Birmingham, I know that the trust I work in offers a 24-hour mental health support line, and I'm sure, and that's like a government initiative really, so I'm really sure that actually most NHS trusts in the area, so if you just Google the area that you're in an NHS trust and mental health 24-hour line, there will be support available. There's also, you know, if anybody wants support particularly on something right now, feel free to email us, because we can always find that support for you, because it might be just too daunting to look at what's out there, so we can, you know, talk with you over email or over phone, whatever you prefer really, to find out what would suit you. I think it's important to remember that it is challenging, and every single person may experience some anxiety right now, and that's normal. I think we can look at it in a very clinical way sometimes, like there must be something wrong with me, but actually we're not living in a typical world right now. You know, we're not allowed to hug the people that most, like the closest kind of family members to us. And I know I really miss some of my family who I've not really seen in sort of 3 months. And so it's important to just kind of normalize some of that, really. I don't think there's one strategy that fits all, but I know there's a lot of support. Even Mind, you know, massive charities like Mind have a lot of support for general kind of mental health. But we are always around to try and support people to find the exact support they're looking for.
And I guess how would people go about contacting yourself or getting information from Seek Your Mind? What are the avenues available?
So if everybody goes to the website, that's www.seekyourmind.com, and then there's a contact us form. If they just fill that in really with some basic information about them, you know, if it does ask for a name, you don't need to put your name. If you want to leave it anonymous, that's absolutely fine. If people prefer to continue the contact over email, that's okay as well. I suppose it's just in order for you to get the support that you need. So whatever's easiest. For some people, they can't talk at home for a particular reason. And so email might be easier. For others, actually, they need that telephone contact. They need to speak to a human on the other end. And we understand that.
And for, so you support the Punjabi community. So I take it people can speak Punjabi as well. And for those people that don't have access to your website, or they're not able to get in contact via that method, is there a way of traditionally getting in contact, a number or another way of doing
that? That's something that we definitely need to work on, because at the moment we don't have a telephone line particularly, so we all kind of call from our own phones, and so there isn't one number, but that's definitely something that hopefully in the next few months will become clearer. I mean, at the moment the Sikh Council UK have a kind of COVID line. It's for helping people who are vulnerable, and I can give you those details shortly, but essentially the idea is they can support people with more practical issues, also emotional support. So actually if somebody needed to speak to us, needed more kind of significant mental health intervention, then that we are involved in that, and then they would forward that call on to us. So the number for that is 0333-230-100.
I'll put those details on the podcast episode as well, so that people can access that. And if there's any other organizational links or information that you think is useful for people to digest offline, or you know, without contacting somebody just to find out about things, do send that to me and we'll get it onto all the platforms as well. So I guess one of the things I was quite keen on doing via this podcast was to give the younger generation, all people looking to change careers, career guidance and understanding of different sort of areas of of the work that they could do. So I guess this is a bit twofold question. If somebody wanted to get into the healthcare sector and work as a clinician, how would they do that, Gobindajit? And the other part is, if they wanted to be a part of Seek Your Mind, what are the different things that people can get involved in, you know, as well as giving funding to help you sort of grow and do all that thing, all of those things as well. What kind of things can they get involved in? And if people wanted to get into the mental health career path, maybe a bit of insight on how they could go about doing that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, if anyone needs any support with like clinical applications because they're interested in becoming psychologists, then feel free to message us in any way that you can, Instagram, Facebook, or email. There's about five qualified psychologists and a couple of assistant psychologists in the team who would be more than happy to help with that. It's not a straight route to get into clinical psychology, just because, so you do your undergraduate, you do 3 years, and then you do one or two or sometimes more years of clinical work. So that could be, it's so wide ranging. You could be a research assistant, you could be a healthcare support worker, so a care worker. You could work with a particular population, children, people with learning disabilities, older adults. So it really varies. I think for me, it's about what interests you. So actually, whatever you're doing, and the end goal might be to get to X, you know, to be a psychologist or to be a mental health professional, but it's enjoying what you're doing. And then after that, you have 3 years of a doctorate. And then the end, or just the beginning, really. We have a social worker in the team as well. So if anyone's out there who's interested in social work, that's something we can support with. And a speech and language therapist, Rookvi's wife. So we have quite a few clinicians, including a wellbeing coach as well. So it's really varied. There isn't one. If you're interested in mental health, there's actually there's so many roles that can fulfill that need. Okay. So we can definitely support people to think about what they might be interested in, and also what's realistic, because actually even the psychology doctorate, sometimes it's a long journey, and you might be able to achieve that in a different way if you're particularly interested in mental health support and working with people to support them in that way. And maybe Rookvi, you can say a bit more, because I know you've been looking into this yourself.
Yeah, that's right. As a sort of a career change, because I'm quite passionate and it's one of the driving factors for me to help other people. I've been looking at roles recently, the NHS, like a psychological wellbeing practitioner, and employment support as well, particularly the people who have mental health difficulty and helping them. And so that's the reason for, you know, gain some experience coming from like no experience of done a qualification, albeit so it's a very basic one, but it gives you a good background on mental health. It's definitely good. NHS is a great website as well.
Is there any online courses that people can do just to sort of get familiar with mental health and see if it's going to be a profession that they want to get into? Or is it, I think Rookvi, you said you did a course or something earlier.
Yes, so it's a course by the Skills Network, which is free of charge. So they send you the materials, textbooks and stuff, and it's an online course, so you can do it distance learning. And it's a four-part course, and it's a level 2 certificate in awareness of mental health problems, which I did. And it's really good. You get like assigned to a college or university, and you have a support that way, in terms of a tutor and somebody to mark your work, and they give you good feedback. So I'd really recommend that. It does cover a range of different mental health issues, from like stress, anxiety, the phobias, the depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, dementia, eating disorders, ADHD, OCD, PTSD. So it just goes on, and it's quite good. It's quite comprehensive, and I really enjoyed doing it when I got time to do it, which was at night, like you and the MBA.
Oh, brilliant. So it'd be good to get that link as well, so we can share that with the listeners as well, if any of them are interested in doing that free course. I think now is probably a good time for people to do that if they have more time on their hands, because they're not traveling about much. So be good. So as it's Mental Health Awareness Week, and the theme is kindness, I think it'd be very nice to understand from your perspectives what you feel kindness is. I think it'd be good to share with the listeners, and it kind of resonates with the purpose of the week to discuss the topic kindness. So who wants to go first?
Well, I can, because I literally just posted on our Instagram. I saw that pop up, actually. So this week, as you rightly say, we've all been doing a post on our Seek Your Mind Instagram about what it means to us. And I'm becoming a lot more interested in structural oppression and racism and just organizational barriers, really. And I suppose I came across something that I thought, gosh, that's really interesting. Because I normally think about kindness as doing, you know, bringing my mom flowers or opening the door for a stranger, or, you know, these small acts, and I've nothing against them, and they're still really valid. But I suppose it's about thinking about how kindness can be about standing up for others in a world where, you know, it's unfortunately hate crimes are increasing, you know, looking at this pandemic and the views against Chinese people at the moment, and as just one example. But, you know, we know as Sikhs as well, our own communities have been, you know, really the victims in a lot of these incidents, unfortunately, as well, and historically and more recently. So I suppose kindness for me is about standing up for other people, and particularly standing up for other people even when it's really hard for you to do that, just because it feels so uncomfortable, just because no one else is doing it. For me, that's what it means to be kind, truly be kind. So the small things that we do on an everyday, that's great, but we really need to feel it. We need to embody it, and we need it to be not one of those, like a fad. It doesn't work.
Yes.
So these small bits of kindness hopefully form kind people who then stand up for others. And I think there's something so clear in our history as Sikhs about that, but I think it's got lost along the way. For me, I can say that for me it has, because I do kind of tremble a little bit. I think, oh gosh, there's something uncomfortable, I'm not sure what to do with it. But I hope that, you know, that moving forward, I can actually do that a bit more. I can actually, you know, stand up for other people, even when it's not about me.
Increasing,
right. When I thought about kindness, I thought, well, what does it mean to me? Well, it means, you know, asking how somebody is, or just you know, saying hi to the neighbor or something, or, you know, just contacting a friend that you've never heard from before or something. But it's much more than that. It's a very special quality to have, which allows you, I think, to feel good about yourself as well. It does require a lot of courage and strength to be kind, especially to somebody who you may not know, you may feel uncomfortable talking to or contacting. It does require courage and strength, I think. And, you know, just to be, I think in this age where we live, there's a lot of social media, a lot of people, you know, their computers and stuff. I think it's good just to have a connection with the real world in the search. So just to be friendly and generous to somebody, and considerate in your everyday activities, I think it adds up, and it just makes you into a different person by, you know, practicing that quality. And then, you know, and it's a give and get thing as well, because if you don't be kind to somebody, they're not most likely will not be kind to you. So it's a bit like respect. So, you know, you give and you get that back as well. So it just adds up. And if everybody embodies it, it just creates a better society, a community which is compassionate and listens and looks out for reach for each other. And I think that's really important, more so needed in this time as well.
Definitely. That's definitely relevant. That's really, really inspiring words. So I guess I should have my go as well on what kindness is. So for me, kind of resonates in both your points. I think definitely you have to have the courage to be kind to yourself first, to understand that, you know, nobody's perfect, but we are unique in ourselves. And I think once you recognize the uniqueness in yourself, it's much more easier to recognize in others as well. It's not just an outer thing where you accept others, but as an ultimate thing, you need to be kind to yourself to be kind to others. And I think Kabindaji, like you said, there is this tougher side of kindness where you need to stand up for other people, because we're obviously told to be the examples, to lead by, you know, in society, to be at the forefront. And our gurus did the same, and many others that followed them, and they stood up for something that was right, whether it gave up, gave their lives for it. But they knew that they were standing up for something much bigger than just that one action. And I think that's what the difficulty is in today's age, is to keep that in perspective and make sure, even if it's uncomfortable, you're doing something for the betterment of others. And sometimes I think it's seeing the bigger picture, but still acknowledging the smaller kindness factors of recognizing people. And I think in your post today was about recognizing people that are there, you know, and checking in with them is and noticing a difference and having that engaging conversation. So I have a team, quite a big team, but what I always say to the other managers is that it's the day-to-day smile, it's the day-to-day hello, it's the day-to-day noticing, oh, someone doesn't look right today, or they didn't turn up to work, and checking in when they return. It's very simple things, but those build and build and build, and they build a happy team, and a team which will work well, as you're looking after them. And they, like you said, Rakavi, I'm surprised that, you know, it comes back to you, because they ask you, actually, are you okay today? And you're like, whoa.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But, you know, it feels good, because it's reciprocating what you want to project. So you get it back. So yeah, a resonance for sure. We're probably coming up to the time now. So I think it'd be good for you to have your final word and ask what you need from support from the community, from the wider community. How can we help donate, and what are your needs, and sort of how can we help to raise this platform of mental health in the Punjabi and Sikh community, which is really needed for us to help those that are suffering in silence, or they're not knowledgeable about what mental health is and what services are available. Over to you guys. This is your floor now.
Well, thank you firstly for inviting us on. This has been really, it's always interesting when we have conversations with other people, because I think something else comes to mind, or there's like a spark somewhere. And I've really appreciated that time today. So thank you. I find it massively uncomfortable to ask for donations, but I've been told I have to. So
you should learn from the big charities.
Yeah, we are a charity, and it does all go to things that we need to support people. So if anybody does want to donate, they're more than welcome to, and they just go onto our website and there's a donate button, and it takes you to PayPal, and you can get a receipt and everything from us. What we're really interested in is communities and groups and initiatives inviting us in. Really, so we can work together, so we can kind of use all of our skill mix to help more people. We are definitely, as I said, on the lookout for someone who can help us with fundraising and grant applications. I think that's definitely a necessary kind of a move forward. But we're always looking to recruit. I think at the moment it's on hold just because of COVID. But we really value like everybody brings such different expertise, and we really are trying to think about, you know, if someone does come into our team, what is going to be your thing? How are you going to support this? Because you will get something out of it, that's guaranteed. And hopefully you can give some of what skill you have. So that's our ideal, really, that we definitely want you to get something out of it, whether that's mental health, kind of clinical experience, if you will, or helping the Sikh population, or helping people. We want you to have that. But we also want to think about what's the skill that you can help Sikh Your Mind with. So we're just really grateful for every opportunity, just like today, to really talk about what we do and hopefully bring more passionate people on board.
Brilliant.
Well, I consider myself one of those passionate people. So echoing everything Gumindajit said, please donate and help with it is Seva. And we are helping those that actually need help in the community. There are sort of frameworks in the NHS which aren't as easily accessible to people from our community, as well as the Black, Asian, and the minority ethnic communities. And we've seen that current pandemic where, you know, we have been disadvantaged and we have been unfairly sort of disadvantaged. So there needs to be sort of like, I think, community-led sort of a response to that. And that's where smaller charities which specialize, who have more knowledge about Asian communities, and to actually be at the fore and join in with the national guidance on this. So yeah, please help support our work. And if you are going through any issues yourself in terms of mental health, you know, please get in touch. And, you know, yeah, keep positive and look after yourself. Be kind to yourself, as you said. Yeah, just learn about mental health. It's so easy to be ignorant and not worry about it if it's not a problem that you're experiencing or somebody isn't experiencing that, you know. But it's good knowledge to have, as well as physical health. We do a lot of workouts and stuff, and you know, we like to look after ourselves, but mental health is key to good health at the end of the day. So you've got to know how, what it means to have not so good mental health and how you can look after it. And it's really important to study about it and, you know, take part in initiatives and support the work if you can't do anything else, and have respect for the people who do have mental health difficulties, because they're not, you know, people who shouldn't be around. They should be respected, and it's a difficulty that they're having. It's not something that's there and that's it. If they're going to recover from it, and we should all play a part in being empathetic and listening to people, and you know, looking out for each other. Yeah, so I mean, like I said, like, thank you very much for having us on as well. So appreciate it. It'd be nice talking to yourself, and hopefully we can sort of, you know, link again, and obviously help spread the word.
Brilliant. No, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure meeting you. It's been a pleasure having you on the episode. And I mean, I would welcome to have another episode in the near future with you. Maybe we can talk about particular issues or topics that, you know, at the forefront of what we need to sort of get out there. But yeah, it's been amazing. I'm sure our listeners are going to really appreciate this episode and help raise awareness and support yourselves as well. So I just I want all our listeners to follow you on Instagram at the handle at Seek Your Mind, and also the website was www.seekyourmind.com, and do spread the word. And thank you very much, Govindajit Kaur and Jagavi Singh. Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa.
Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa. Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh.
Thank you for listening to the Seek Coach podcast. If you found this episode valuable, do share with your friends and family, and do give us feedback. You can email us at theseekcoach@gmail.com or find us on Facebook. Just search the Seek Coach podcast and follow us on Instagram at the Seek Coach. Thank you for listening. Stay blessed.